Did the early church teach Scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran Confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. As the population ages, well, we die later in life. We live longer, but that brings with it, well, other problems that perhaps previous generations have not had to face to the same degree. That is, caring for elderly loved ones, mother, father, grandparents. The church has a role to play in all of this, and pastors have a role to play in it. But what about those caregivers, those who are often silently, often without any kind of real recognition, laboring away a labor of love, caring for the elderly? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, September the 28th, we're going to talk about caring for the caregivers. Dr. Tyler Arnold is our guest. He's senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, collegium fellow for doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and author of a column titled Comforting the Comforters, Pastoral Care for Family Caregivers of the Elderly. Dr. Arnold, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Why is the topic of caring for caregivers important?
Well, I think for two reasons, really. Pastors may not think to consider caregivers. They may not even have them in their field of vision because, well, the person that is receiving the care is the one that the pastors oftentimes turn their attention to. So they may fall out of our field of vision, if you will, or fall out of anyone's field of vision for that matter. But then also, secondly, caregivers may not realize that they are even caregivers themselves. Dr. Hal Sinkbeil, who I work with closely with doxology, talks about caring for his wife, Jane. And when he read the column that I wrote, he said, I didn't even realize that I was a caregiver myself. So it's interesting that maybe some of us who are carrying out the vocation of caring for others don't even realize that we're doing it. Caregivers definitely need a unique kind of care that is tailor-made toward them, their individual needs. And so individual care is important, and that care needs to be carried out in a very specific way and oftentimes on a one-on-one basis. But then also, not just one-on-one, it will also include the worshiping community, as I'm sure we'll talk about as well.
What demographic realities are facing the church regarding care for the elderly?
Well, it's no secret that we live in an aging society. There are more than 34 million unpaid caregivers, and there are more than 45 million if we include those who care for perhaps a disabled child or someone up to the age of 50. 34 million unpaid caregivers, usually that includes those who are of the familial nature, a son or a daughter caring for a parent or a spouse. And then if we add in another group, 15 million of those, 34 million, are caring for someone with dementia or Alzheimer's, which is something that I've talked about on your show before. Now, centuries ago, caring for family members was expected, but it was also very different. People didn't live as long back in those days, and there were more family members to help out. So the burden is different today. Even though there are more resources, there are less people who are available to care. So familial caregivers are pulling from, I guess you could say, a smaller pool than they were years ago. Back in 1970, the nuclear family was made up of about 3.1 persons. Today, that's 2.5 persons per nuclear family. So as you can assume, there are fewer people to care for the ones that are in need, and there are more that are in need today because life expectancy is larger than it was years ago, too.
What kind of spiritual struggles do caregivers face?
Well, struggles often seen in caregivers are familiar to most all of us, but many times they are accentuated. I'll give you an example. Caregivers may be struggling with a higher level of despair that results in the feeling of being stuck in a situation where there seems to be no hope of escape. Sometimes the moral obligation that others expect from a spouse or a son or a daughter can be overwhelming. They want to fulfill their obligation, but they have a hard time doing it. They dread their duty. There's a loss of personal freedom that often accompanies caring for somebody who needs an extraordinary amount of care. Anxiety builds of the amount of work that is to be done. And even there's a feeling that they're not suited to do the work. They're not trained to do it. They're not good enough to carry out the work, and that also adds an extra element of anxiety. I had an elder in my parish that came to me, and he resigned his position on the elders because his spouse had Alzheimer's and it was progressing quite severely. And he told me about a promise that he made to his wife, saying that he would never put her in a nursing facility, which was a promise that he realized after time that he could not keep. And so he had this feeling that he was going back on a promise that he made, and it crushed him. And we had to talk about that. We had to discover how this was the best course of action for him to resign the elders and care for his wife, but know that whenever the time came for him to seek out additional help, that that was something that was okay, that that was going to be something that was going to be for the best of his wife and for him, who could not bear that burden alone. And one thing that I'd like to share with your listeners, please, you know, do not make your spouse or your child make a promise like that, because there are so many different factors that may require other people getting involved in the care of someone that we love.
How does this American myth of self-reliance, the self-reliant individual, how does that complicate things for caregivers?
Yes, and individuals are led to believe that they are being better individuals by bearing burdens themselves. They are led to believe that self-reliance is a sign of strength, and asking for help or receiving help is a sign of weakness, perhaps both spiritually or physically. Two things come to mind with this. We cannot do the work of caring for another alone. It's just impossible. Caregivers may think that they are not alone because they have somebody else to care for, that therefore they say, I'm not alone. But to be isolated or cut off from others, it only leads to greater despair and spiritual struggle. Now, secondly, it's also helpful for caregivers to remember that they are caregivers and not cure givers. A caregiver is a tool. He or she does not have the ability to determine outcomes. Individualism leads to despair because it teaches that we have within us some kind of power to make people whole if we provide the right kind of care. Relying on the cure giver places the results in the hands of God and not in our hands. We're simply the tools, the mechanism that God uses to care for those that we have been given to care for. So relying on the cure giver will also mean relying on those that the cure giver also provides to help and support, such as our neighbor and our pastors and the like.
Are there different challenges for female caregivers as opposed to male caregivers?
Well, women, and we perceive this, that they are by nature more nurturing individuals. And for better or for worse, we think, well, they're more suited to help out in this realm, maybe even to take on the entire responsibility. Statistics show that about half of women experience an elevated level of stress that leads to depression, sleeplessness, elevated levels of anger, and emotional exhaustion. We should be careful to keep in mind that women may be harmed by the elevated expectation that they must embrace caregiving by virtue of the fact that they are women and they're supposed to be the nurturing type. Two things come to mind with this. We need to be aware of our family members who may feel burdened by this higher level of expectation. And we need to garner a greater awareness of having people to surround them, to show them support and love. pastors need to be mindful of the burden of expectation and know that it might contribute to the caregiver's level of despair and loneliness as well.
You write, interdependence, not independence, is necessary for the caregiver to have success in providing for their loved one. What do you mean by that?
Well, interdependence is spiritual care from the community of believers. And it could even go beyond that to care physically for those people that are under our care or the person themselves. Pastors should promote this, and caregivers should be aware of this. You know, the independence is a mark of rampant individualism, which we already talked a little bit about. We see this in the world, and the world promotes and caregivers feel as if they have to abide or not burden the church or the neighbors or anything like that. It also comes down to the responsibility. We are responsible for each other, and God is responsible for us, so we rely on each other. What is more, spiritual interdependence is built around the liturgical life of the church, and it becomes vital for the well-being of especially familial caregivers who realize an excessive burden that begins to consume them. The need for physical and emotional support and spiritual connectedness will prove most beneficial for caregivers when they feel overwhelmed by their feelings of inadequacy or stress or what have you. The interdependence includes the community, and it includes Christ, who is there to provide the gifts of comfort and support and love through the gospel message.
How does an understanding of Christian vocation, you'll need to briefly explain that, how does that help caregivers and a pastor caring for them?
Sure. So Christian caregiving is not a vocation that belongs to us. So it is a work that Jesus does through his precious instruments for which we are those servants. And since caregiving is the work of the Lord, it is important for those who are in this servant role to understand their calling as such. So through Christian vocation, the Heavenly Father has led us out of ourselves and into the service of others. And in Christ's righteousness, the Christian caregiver is made free to serve. So the old Adam is put to death in Christ so that he may enter into the service through the means by which he chooses for the sake of the needy. So freedom to carry forth a God-given vocation of service to a family member is needed, and it's a very important topic to address for familial caregivers. Luther says, and this is famously put, and we've heard it many different times before, a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all and subject to none. Now, this part of Christian liberty that Luther speaks of here is rarely forgotten. We love the freedom part of that. However, Luther also reminds us that a Christian is perfectly dutiful servant of all and subject to all. So this is a part that forms the foundation of Christian vocation in general, and the life of the caregiver specifically.
Dr. Tyler Arnold is our guest. Caring for caregivers is our topic. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has written a great column about the sainted Pastor Paul McCain in the October edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine. October's theme is the Book of Concord. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online for an annual subscription of less than $20. For more information, visit lcms.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. On the other side, how should a caregiver see themselves as a servant? Did the early church teach Scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran Confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues Etc. journal issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The church is a family. St. Paul writes, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." At Redeemer Lutheran Church, we rejoice to be a part of that household of faith, gathered around the gifts of Christ in word and sacrament. If you're in the Lawrence, Kansas area, it would be our pleasure to have you join our family. We also have the privilege of serving the University of Kansas. If you have a son or daughter who attends KU or one of the other area universities, we would love for them to join us and to make Redeemer their home away from home. For more information about our church, please visit redeemer-lawrence.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
As these progressive people and ideas take root with everything that is allowed to pass, we change ourselves as people, and we find it much more difficult to fight when the next battle comes.
There is no one who has exclusive domain on original sin. We are all born with sin, and it's not limited to any one race.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Those two words, for us, embody our Lutheran understanding of the blessed exchange that Christ was born and died for us, taking our place.
If I profess with loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ.
Friday afternoon, October the 1st, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's an opportunity for you to win the LPR bundle package. You'll find this week's contestants in Tuesday's podcast feed and on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. You can vote in advance by calling the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, via Twitter at issuesetc, or live Friday afternoon by dialing our toll-free studio line, 1-877-623-MYIE, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're talking about caring for caregivers. Dr. Tyler Arnold is our guest, senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, collegium fellow for doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and author of a column titled Comforting the Comforters, Pastoral Care for Family Caregivers of the Elderly. Dr. Arnold, you mentioned before the break that Luther, quote, servant of all. How should a caregiver see himself or herself as a servant?
Well, there's many functions to this, and a lot of this goes back to vocation. So Christian caregivers are called to that freedom, a freedom from coercive obligation and a freedom for servanthood. So there are a few aspects of the Christian life that are more misunderstood than to be called a servant. So it's necessary to put forth a distinction between what true servanthood actually looks like and what it entails. Now, Kenneth Hawk calls this the basic distinction between two words or two things. He wrote a book called Christian Caregiving, and it came out in the 80s. And there's some very useful things in that book. One of it is the distinction between servanthood and servitude. Servitude connotes bondage, slavery, and involuntary labor. But servanthood is different. It incorporates willingness, opportunity, a joy-filled, God-given devotion. So a person who acts out of servitude does so of obligation and fear, but the person who is living in servanthood acts out of a sense of a commitment and love, and that commitment is through Christ to our loved one, to our neighbor. So the snare of servitude may be unhealthy. It can create deep problems for both the caregiver and the recipient. But servanthood is healthy and motivated by the gospel for the sake of sinners. So this does not mean that servanthood is easy by any stretch of the imagination. The caregiver's workload is not lessened by making proper distinctions or anything like that. But the caregiver who understands the root source of their service will be more likely to take on their job with gladness of heart as they serve Christ, to be serving by serving his or her spouse or parent or whatever it may be. So servitude has pitfalls that the caregiver will want to avoid. Pastors can help identify these pitfalls through listening and diagnosing the source of the problem and then leading them away from the problem and toward the solution. And servanthood will allow the caregiver to express difficult challenges through empathy. And yes, the caregiver servant will occasionally have to jump into the mud hole of empathy with the one who is struggling. But the servant does not lose grip of the root of the tree, so to speak, does not lose grip of the cross and the objectivity that comes with that, because we know that we have the support and love of a Savior who comes alongside of us and knows our ills, he knows our struggles, and is with us always to the very end of the age.
What role does forgiveness play in the service of a caregiver?
So our relationship with both God and man always hinges on this central reality. We're constantly in need of recapturing this relationship, and the only way that this happened is really through forgiveness. So forgiveness of sins is not merely a component of the life of the Christian, but the substance and foundation. So caregivers need to understand that forgiveness is an absolute prerequisite for caring, and forgiving is a lived-in daily task that cannot be taken for granted. Forgiveness does not mean that caregivers ignore hurts or the sufferer or the sugarcoating difficulties that they may be having. Rather, it means breaking down a barrier that prevents Christ's love to run free course from provider to receiver. So the caregiver will experience the temptations and the trials of living daily along with the burdens of caring for a loved one. And the Christian caregiver benefits from knowing that such trials are not an indication of like an insufficient faith or a poor prayer life or the like. Luther says that trials are necessary and should be expected. So he mentions in his writings that struggling brings us to the knowledge of total dependence on God, the one who distributes the care for us. So one of the biggest problems today is that Christians rarely let others know who they really are. We're afraid to reveal our sins and imperfections for fear of great judgment and reactions from others. And for this reason, pastors do well to listen first to caregivers who need to unburden themselves from the guilt that they carry around. And it is vital to allow caregivers time to reflect on how their thoughts and deeds affect their relationship with both God and their loved one.
Why do Christian caregivers need Christian hope?
Well, Luther said this, God both loves and hates our afflictions. He loves them when they provoke us to prayer. He hates them when we are driven by them to despair. In despair, the believer renders his life to God, knowing that God remains true to his word. He will not cast off those who hope in his mercy. He will not forsake the weak, the lonely, or the oppressed. He will comfort those who faithfully carry out a burdensome duty because they were called by God into the special yet difficult vocation. So we're reminded from St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we have in Christ this steadfast, to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in work, the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is never in vain. And this labor is pressed upon caregivers, and they didn't choose this labor. Yet in Christ, all hope prevails, and this is the great news. It's exactly what is needed for caregivers who find themselves stuck in the abyss of someone else's suffering in their dying. Hope takes the caregiver from the tribulations associated with a dying loved one right into the arms of a dying Savior who would rise again and show how sickness and death has no mastery over him. So hope resides in the coming of the resurrection on the last day when everyone in Christ will be rescued and healed.
Talk about the necessity of the congregation in worship as a place for both human contact, but more importantly, communion with fellow believers in the life of the caregiver.
This is extremely important and something to continue to come back to. Our caregivers that make up the members of our congregations that pastors serve and that we love and care for and that we pray for, they are not one-person miracle workers. They are not saviors. They are not superheroes with abilities beyond our comprehension. They are people just like me and you. And we dare not leave these caring children of God to solitude where their mind is unguarded against the threats of the evil one, who will surely plant seeds of destructive hopelessness in their hearts. So unification within the worshiping community is vital. Caregivers experience solitude and often feel fragmented from the church because of their duties that consume their time. Over time, the caregiver becomes the one singular ember set away from the fire, if you will. And so a Christian caregiver cannot distribute God's gifts without first receiving them. And this is the important part. So they must be continually tied to the church and patiently catechized so that they understand that their lifeline for service relies on a regular dose of God's word and sacrament. Now, how is that given? That's given, obviously, through the means of grace at church on Sunday. But what if the caregiver cannot attend church on Sunday because they're home caring for the one that they love? Now, this is whenever members of the congregation, and most especially the pastor, need to become very active in home visitation, making sure to keep them in mind of every need that they have, not only in support of body, but also of spirit. And so here the pastor comes alongside of the caregiver and rejoins them to the community of faith through the word of God, through the sacrament that is given to them. And they must be reminded, even though sometimes they are lonely without the company of others, that they are never alone. And God willing, the members of the congregation can be told also to share in including them and in different outings that might get them away, maybe even supporting them by providing help while they go out and do things as well. So we think about the physical aspects of being a worshiping community. The spiritual aspects as well both come together to really provide a great blessed hope for caregivers.
Finally then, what encouragement can pastors then share with caregivers?
So family caregivers become many things for their loved one. They become nurse, advocate, companion, appointment maker, chauffeur sometimes, event planner, so many different other things. It's impossible for the caregiver to be an expert in every single detail. And because of the vast skill set needed to care for loved ones, these precious servants must understand that they cannot do this godly work alone. It's just impossible. So many caregivers would profit from emotional support and encouragement. Early assistance could take the form of a support group. Pastors should endeavor to learn about area resources for physical help, but even emotional support. Such professionals maybe would also be able to come alongside of them and provide help in other means that they may encounter. It's not to put off or replace pastoral care, but it supports the needs of caregivers. And so in terms of ministry, there are no secret formulas for pastoral care to caregivers. They suffer the burdens of hopelessness and helplessness, anger and resentment, grief and despair, just as anybody else does in the congregation. But their pastor will encounter a wide range of emotional maladies that require him to be actively present and to be a good listener to those things. And so bringing God's healing word with prayer and blessing is never to be underestimated. Uniting the caregiver to the liturgical rhythm of the church, as well as the members of the faith community coming alongside of caregivers, is absolutely vital. And so much of this distress that caregivers experience is a result of being separated from friends and family, being isolated from those who facilitate strength and give support and encouragement. But Jesus' words ring true for us as much as it does, even more so for them. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, is specifically applied to the one consumed with such a lonely task. And so our Lord is an ever-present help in the day of trouble for our caregivers. And thanks be to God, he provides support through his word, his sacrament, and his servants to do just that very thing.
Pastor Tyler Arnold is Senior Pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, Collegium Fellow for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and author of a column titled Comforting the Comforters, Pastoral Care for Family Caregivers of the Elderly. You'll find a link to it and to Doxology on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Tyler, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss what I wish my non-Lutheran family knew about faith with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We'll talk with Greg Kokel about responding to arguments for critical theory and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. Well, the Lord says, cast all your cares upon me. That means the ones we care for as well, because he loves them far more than we do, and he sees to their care far more than we can. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.